Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we praise your name. Father, we thank you. We thank you for all of those gentle touches that we feel throughout the week, the times when we look at the clock and see 11:11 when they're impossible, especially when they're impossible times like this unexpected. Father, we praise you for the days that we're in right now because they're so obvious that we see that we're, you know, it's just so obvious that we're so close to the very end. But of course, what does that mean? We don't know. What we do know is who the Antichrist is because of your grace to us. And there are so many of our fellow brothers and sisters who do not understand these things, and they are confused. They are confused, and they're at different places in their walks and struggling, to say the least. And some of them are unfortunately misled. and just have hearts that are somewhere else. Their hearts are very, very focused on recovery. They're focused on restoring their 50-mile radius around their homes back to something that has a sense of normality to them, where the food prices are affordable and the world just leaves them alone. And Father, I know that we've come to a place in the world, in the end of the world timeline, that it just doesn't appear that there is going to be any possibility of us turning back. And that is glorious to us, because we are looking forward ever so much to being with our Lord Jesus, with you, and being at the wedding supper, being able to move on to whatever it is that you have for us. And we pray, please, first and foremost, for our fellow brothers and sisters out there who are lost. Father, we pray for those who are young in the faith that do not understand, or we're not going to pass judgment on why they may be young in the faith, but we'll just say those that are young in the faith, who are mostly worldly and fleshy in the way that they think about things, and have probably been mistrained a little bit or a lot, and they just don't know where to turn. They don't understand what's happening. They've been told that certain things, certain prerequisites must occur before the rapture, and some of them are probably even in churches and gatherings that don't believe in such things. There are also our fellow brothers and sisters out there that they have a deep-rooted fear of having to go through hard times. They're older, they're hurting, they're, you know, maybe they've had hip surgeries, who knows. But Father, there's just a big, big group out there that don't want to face the possibility of hard times, and I don't. I don't want to go through hard times. And I don't think anybody in their right mind really does. Although the days that we're in right now could be construed or labeled as such, but certainly not as bad as they could be. And Father, we also lift up those who have been deceived, unfortunately misled, and bought on to the Seven Mountains Mandate stuff, and they believe that we're not in the end times at all, and that all these things are being orchestrated and things are going to turn around, and Jesus is going to come back. Let's just say that the saints of Christ are going to rise up and take over the government and education and Hollywood and media and the medical profession and everything else. And I'm not sure, I don't know, and nor do I wish to remember what all the seven mountains are. There's a lot of them, but it's basically everything that makes the world go round. And Father, we just know that that's not going to happen. It's a complete twisting and misconstruing of the scripture. And it would fly in the face of the truth of the word that's spoken of by Jesus in the Olivet Discourse, 2 Thessalonians 2, and certainly the book of Revelation, which any Bible reader should be able to see unless they were really badly trained, which there's plenty of them out there, unfortunately. But Father, we just pray that somehow there's so many different ways, Father, that you have the ability to be able to touch somebody. There's so many. Sometimes they hear something on YouTube, and it's a good thing, and they're not misled. They're not taken down a wrongful path. Sometimes a member of their family says something to them like, oh, no, haven't you seen this? Haven't you seen that? And they see just enough maybe to give them a surge of fear, but then, you know, perhaps they're guided appropriately to understand that these are glorious days for us, even though we might have to go through some difficult times. The net end result is exciting, more exciting than we can ever imagine. Father, we pray that you will forgive us in this, not just this season, but in this generation and the maybe the two generations that are blended together amidst ours. Forgive us for not teaching our children from a very, very young age. And forgive us for maybe making some wrongful choices in our lives, ending up in the world. We didn't know any better. But Father, we just pray that if we were misled, if we were in the wrong church, if we made a right turn before when we should have made a left turn, or whatever the case may be, that led us into a place where we too were doubtful the days that we're in right now. Certainly pointing at many milestones that have occurred all the way back into the 1980s regarding estimations that have been made by very good, godly men who meant well but misunderstood things. And it's happened more than once, which of course exacerbates the challenge that we have today because people become jaded, you know, once, you know, fool me once, fool me twice, that kind of thing. And Father, we just pray that you will forgive all of us for making those bad choices. Maybe not listen, maybe not even taking the time to get on our knees before you and pray and look for you to answer, or casting lots or whatever it is that is required of us to seek you sufficiently to know whether or not we should make that turn. A lot of times we feel that we just feel excited about something and we make a decision on our own. Or we pray about it once or twice and just feel a positive or peaceful feeling about it and assume that that's the Holy Spirit letting us know that it's okay, but maybe not. Let us take the bigger decisions and the bigger choices that we have before us, before you, Father God, fervently in prayer, and seek you in a way that pleases you. And it may require us to really dig in hard and pray through. But we need to hear that still small voice, and we do know that we are living in a time. Thank you, Father, for the prophecy that you gave our brother, Stanley Frodsham, who is certainly somewhere in your presence in glory. And thank you for helping us to understand so many things that we could not have understood if it wasn't for your incredible, miraculous grace, not just the grace that you give us naturally because you love us all the way that you do, but special portions of grace where you give us links through emails or whatnot to elucidate us and take us to a new level of understanding. Certainly not one that's utterly conclusive, but an understanding that helps us to be able to better position ourselves in our walk and prepare ourselves for what is most likely to happen. Maybe not guaranteed, but certainly the probability has increased by virtue of what it says in your word. And we praise you for that, Father God. We thank you for helping us to understand through the prophecy of Ethan Rodriguez what causes the great earthquake in Ezekiel 38. I believe it's around verse 19 or so. And also the same exact event, the great earthquake that occurs at the beginning of the sixth seal, which is the day of the Lord, Revelation 6, verse 12. Thank you, Father God, for giving us tablespoons full of wisdom in just the right perfect timing to bring us a little closer to a better understanding of where we are timeline-wise. And we pray in Jesus' name before your holy throne, Father, your awesome, awesome, incredible throne. We beseech you, Father, please, in Jesus' name, please, hear our prayers and do not delay. We need your help, and we know that the throne room must be more busy right now. We understand that that certainly the dynamics that have occurred between you, Jesus, and Lucifer over the years probably has accelerated to a very high pitch. I would have to imagine that the throne room right now is on some type of a war footing based upon 1 Kings 22:19 and some of the other scriptures that help us to understand how busy things can get up there. I have to also imagine, Father, that there are a lot of our brothers and sisters and unbelievers who don't know which way to turn. Maybe they were Hebrew, maybe they were Hindu once, maybe they were some other religion at some time, you know, and they progressed a little bit, but they're on the edge. They don't really know, should it be this, should it be that? Father God, we just pray for them that you will come upon them in dreams and visions of the night and touch them. Give them a vision. How simple and easy is that, Father God? We just pray for these people. Touch them with visions. Touch them with dreams. Touch them with words that come from their loved ones' mouths, from people that they know. Maybe even an unbeliever says something very unusual about the things that are happening today and triggers something in their heart and helps them to understand something like what happened with me when how I had forgotten not one, but both the prophecies that my mother had over me at the age of 10, and then only to later realize that once we were well into the year 2000s, and vividly remember those prophecies and my mother telling me those things and being really shocked at how they had come true. Even before I had realized, even before I had remembered them, remembered that they had occurred. Father, we thank you for the beautiful gift that you have given us. I don't want to say that we are ever going to arrive at a place of wisdom that doesn't need more nurturing and certainly incredible amounts of, well, we need more. We just need more from you, Father. We need much, much more. We need to be able to hear better. And we just pray, Father, if it is at all possible that our angels, we know that we have angels that are assigned to us for the purpose of bringing us the answers to our prayers from the testimony of those who have been in the spiritual realm and have witnessed such things. Father, we just pray, whether it be through the angels, whether it be through a strengthening and empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our walk, without any assumptions on our part, because a lot of the decisions that we make, we think are coming from the Holy Spirit, but are actually coming from our own fleshy heart. And Father, sometimes it's very difficult to discern, and we have to estimate that with the fact that you take petitions. Why would you take petitions? If all prayers across all 8 billion people on this earth were being answered at the same split second of time, then there would be no purpose in handing you a petition. And what happens to a petition? Do they not become stacked up in front of the magistrate? Yes, they do. Thank you, Father God, for helping us to understand that the Holy Spirit gift of speaking in tongues bypasses the petition stack and bypasses the prerequisite rules that are associated with getting your prayer or your petition heard, or for it to even make it to the stack at all, based upon how we pray, whether or not we pray through, whether or not there's any intensity and emotion and fervency in our prayer. Father, we just thank you for helping us to understand all these things, because so many of our brothers and sisters are handicapped by not understanding them. And then 1 Peter 1:3-7, I think it is, says, let not your prayers be hindered. And we don't want our prayers to be hindered at all, Father. We don't want, we know that the scripture, and again, I'm hoping I'm getting this right, 1 Peter 3:7, we know that these, that contextually is talking about a husband and wife, but we also understand that if it's applicable to a husband and wife in that dynamic, it's also applicable to all other behaviors that we have in our walk. And we don't want any chance that our prayers would be hindered, Father God. We need your help, your assistance, your divine guidance. Now, we know that we have to assume that if indeed, which I would be astonished if it wasn't, if it was any other way, that the throne room is in a war footing, and that there is much more spiritual warfare taking place across the world in multiple dimensions, I would even submit, today than ever before in the history of the world. I believe that with all of my heart, especially just because of the sheer number of saints, even, you know, without even breaking the saints into different groups and trying to rationalize it out, just the remnant alone and the sheer numbers of the remnant alone, which is not 144,000. Please forgive those out there that are teaching such things. It is just so wrong and so deceptive. Father, there's so much deception. Lord Jesus, there's so much deception. You warned us in the Olivet Discourse over and over and over and over again about the deception that we're in right now. Yet so many people are just going to the left and going to the right and getting confused and wondering, you know, so many different things. Is there going to be a red heifer? Where's that in the Holy Bible? And then they go start studying things that come from very evil writings like the Babylonian Talmud, and they don't understand what they're doing. They're dipping their fingers into Satan's pool of filth and getting mighty confused about what has to happen before Jesus comes. And nothing, the fact of the matter is that nothing has to happen, not really, except the things that are written in the scripture. As a matter of fact, the most prescriptive scripture set that that was written, that was explicit to the days that we're in right now, to give us guidance for when we should be watching for Jesus. And watching for Jesus means different things to different Christians. those who don't believe in the rapture, those who do not understand the rapture, those who are living in willful and habitual sin, those who are not ready, those who need more refinement, those who, you know, if they plumb don't even believe in it at all, then it has to be estimated that they are probably going to stay for more refinement. We praise you, Father God, for revealing to us that there are three watches, that there's a barley harvest, there's a wheat harvest, there's a grape harvest. And thank you, Father God, for showing me the actual words, grape harvest, in the NLT version. That was awesome. Father, we just pray for our fellow brothers and sisters from the very bottom of our heart, because we know that there are millions of them out there, and we could get into the different levels of deception that are associated with the denominations, but with 33,000 different denominations across the world with various nuances, that would be impossible for us. Let's just say, Father God, for those who are not ready, or even for us, we that want or wish to be ready, we ask you, please, please, in the name of Jesus, do not delay. Please, in the name of Jesus, Father, I am jettisoning and I am shooting my petition above all the other petitions. Father, I am petitioning you in tongues to jettison that petition beyond, right into the throne room, Father God. And we are asking you in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, that you will lead us, you will guide us, you will place upon our hearts stronger than ever before. Don't let us guess. Please, Father, don't let us try to guess and discern our way whether or not it's something that's in our heart or something that we believe or a presumptuous sin or something that we've misconstrued from something that we heard from another teacher or preacher or a Bible, whatever it may have been. Whatever input that happened in our lives, in some cases, pretty long lives. Father, please don't let us be deceived by those things. Please, Father, in the name of Jesus, we're asking you, if you would kindly, please. Every single person who has been taken to heaven, the first thing out of their mouths when they come back is the love. And since we know that you love us that much, hear these prayers on our behalf, we pray. Please, Father. If you want to take your time and reveal it down the road a ways, like you did with Abraham and Isaac, wait to the very last second. We'll just continue to praise you because we know that you're going to give us the answer. We're not asking you about timing because that answer we know we won't get. But what we are asking you, Father, is to straighten our path. We're asking you, Father, to make your word become real, not just some of it. I would submit that for the vast majority of us, a very good portion of your word has already become real and experiential in our walk. Father, we're asking you, please, even if we have translational issues between the Textus Receptus and whatever one, two, or three maybe different translations that we like. Father, we're just asking you, if we even have a feeble understanding of what the intent of the word was, it seems pretty clear that when we ask you these things in Jesus' name, and we're asking you out of, it's a righteous ask. It's not a selfish ask. It's not an ask that's based on our own self-desires. These are requests that we're asking you because we are excited about the kingdom. We are excited about the opportunity that you've laid before us. We do not want to fall short of your expectations of us. We need your assistance to guide us. We need your assistance to help us to be able to walk on that narrow path. It says, trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not on our own understanding. In all ways, we come to you. We talk to you. We praise you. We thank you. We confess of our sins continuously throughout the day. We make a adjustments to our behaviors and our thought. We pray for the renewal of our mind in a continuous fashion. We work very, very hard under exceedingly difficult circumstances, Father God, and this in this world right now as it stands today. And Father, we need that extra help from you. And we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. As your scripture says, Father God, and I believe it no matter what, even if I don't realize it, even if I don't see it happen, because as so many before me have said, if you don't pay in silver, you'll pay in gold. And Father God, whatever that gold may be for each of us, we just pray that you will give us the opportunity to increase that pile of gold, that metaphor of gold for the rewards that we could get in heaven. We're not working for rewards, Father, but we love you and we want to be harmonious. We understand that the rewards come with it. We understand that when we do things out of love, because we read your Bible, we love your Bible, we love your word, Lord Jesus, which is why we bathe in it literally, and we want it, and it becomes a part of us. I believe it embeds itself even into our DNA. And Father, could you please, how awful would it be for those of us who so desperately want to do what we need to do to make the adjustments in our lives, how we feel, how we think. Father, we pray in Jesus' name, whether it has to be a visitation of an angel, whether it has to be a dream or vision, whatever has to happen in our walk, please, Father, guide us. Lead us in accordance with your promises. We pray before you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. In accordance with Matthew 18:19, you said, Jesus, again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Father, we're on earth and we pray two things, especially. We pray a lot more, but two things especially, Father, we raise to the top of our petition request list. And we ask you, Father, please, in the name of Jesus, the scripture in Luke 21:36 says, pray always to be counted worthy. The problem is we don't know what that means. And the very idea that we ought to have to pray to be counted worthy implies that we would not be inherently worthy. Because if we were inherently worthy by virtue of our actions, by virtue of how much we loved you, how much we prayed, how harmonious we walked in your will, why would we have to be counted worthy? Why would we need to pray always to be counted worthy? The implication of Luke 21:36 is that we're not, no matter what, worthy. Therefore, we need to pray to be counted worthy. And on top of that, Father, there's got to be some sort of a plumb line. There's got to be some sort of a high and low watermark. The problem that we have is that we're not always completely sure that we're above that watermark, that we're walking, are we walking good enough? And we're asking you for your help. We believe that you love us as much as everyone who has been to heaven has told us so. And your word tells us so. Lord Jesus, you are our advocate. We ask you on behalf of the Father and us, and in accordance with your promises in the word, to do two things especially for us. Help us to hear that still small voice. Help us to navigate the ambiguity of this life, particularly during these days. Help us to stay in harmony. Father, we know what the big sins are. We see what they say in the Bible. We see what it says in Galatians 5:19. But some of those words, you can look them up. You can look up their synonyms, and it's still not entirely clear. Dissensions, contentions, to what degree? We're never going to agree on everything, and it doesn't say about anything about disagreements, but it does say about how, you know, a dissension or a contention is a sharp, angry type of a disagreement. It implies extra negativity other than just a disagreement. A disagreement can be amicable and friendly and full of hugs and white bunnies and kisses and holy kisses and things. And, you know, we can all agree to disagree. But we're not supposed to have contentions. There's so much in the Bible that speaks to us and tells us what we ought not to do, but then we try to dig in. We can read commentaries. I have many of them, and they will disagree with each other. The Barnes won't agree with the Clark, and there's so many different opinions in the Vines. And Father, we need you to tell us. Not somebody who's already up in heaven and has already, you know, wherever they are, wherever you place them, Father, but we're asking you. We already act out of the love of our heart through Christ in us. I believe that we do. And for anyone who doesn't yet, please pray now. I'm not talking about this very split second for that, but I'm talking about every single morning when you get up. Set aside 15 minutes of extra time in Jesus' name, please. And get yourself right, because there's a reason why Jesus said in the Bible, physician, heal thyself. If we're not where we need to be, we're not appropriately equipped to be able to help others. We can help others even when we're not where we need to be. That's a true statement. But we are better equipped, much better equipped. If your doctor is sick and throwing up in a bucket when you walk into her office or his office, how effective are they going to be at diagnosing your problem? Which is exactly why Jesus said, physician, heal thyself. Father, we need your help. Iniquity. It took me years of study to figure out what iniquity was. I've listened to so many people talk about it, teach upon it, and everything else under the sun. They never, ever got it right. Thank you, Father, for finally showing me what iniquity is. I love analogies. Iniquity is believing that it's okay to shoot somebody with a gun because you live in a country that allows it in their, wherever, in their laws. That's iniquity. It's the perversion in your heart that is outside of God's will, that is not compliant to the scripture, that causes you to commit sin. It's the belief that you can shoot somebody that is the iniquity. It's pulling the trigger that is the sin. So if you have a belief in your heart, that's why iniquity is so dangerous, because here's another form of iniquity. Once saved, always saved. Now, yes, the scripture does say that we are in the hands of Jesus, and we are also in the hands of the Father, and that we are double protected in that regard. That is true, but that has nothing to do with those of us who are striving to be counted worthy to escape all these things that are about to come upon the earth and stand before you, Jesus, at the wedding supper. We are shooting for doing the best that we possibly can for you, and we need your help. We need your help. I don't think there's a single listener of this program right now that, yes, we would be heartbroken, shocked, horrified even, if the barley harvest rapture happened and we were still here. I know I would be absolutely devastated, and I would be horrified. I would probably have to take a leave from work for a while, because I wouldn't be able to function. And I think probably the majority of people listening to this program right now feel the same way. If we have hidden iniquity in our heart and we don't know about it or understand it, if we believe in once saved, always saved, which would lead us to believe also that we are able to just go ahead and sin willfully whenever we feel like it, because after all, Father, you're going to go ahead and forgive us. Now, the reality is that you will. But I don't think we understand the penalties that we'll face when we arrive in heaven. Let me see that a different way, as opposed to the word penalty wasn't the best word. Until we get in front of you, I don't think we will realize what we could have been, if only. And we praise you, Father, for helping us to understand that ministry is prayer. Oh, yeah, it's counseling other people too, absolutely, but a prayer ministry is the most precious ministry ever, and we're not taught that in the church at all. And we thank you, Father, for teaching that to us. It's so self-evident in your word once you understand it. Once the door is open, you can see it. It's everywhere. Thank you for helping us to understand also that everything has to come out of love. Father, I think it's a wonderful thing, and I just wanted to share this with you because I love you. Father, I just wanted to say thank you for the paradoxes You know, because if it wasn't for some of the paradoxes, it would be really next to impossible to understand why we had to walk a certain way. For example, why would we want a mansion in heaven when we're told on earth that we should not want anything, you know, we shouldn't want worldly possessions, that, you know, desire after them. Not that it's bad to have a dwelling place or a house, but the point is we're supposed to go after that pearl of a greater price. We're supposed to put our riches into coming after you so that we can be rewarded in heaven, but we don't do it for the rewards. We do it out of love. And Father, if it wasn't for that paradox, like I look at my house right now, it's good, nothing special. It's actually quite a bit less than average, and for the United States as it is today. Now, if we went back into the 70s, it would be average. But anyway, Father, we just praise you because, you know, I look at my house right now and I think, you know, what do I want another room for? For junk? For stuff? And then I say to myself, well, if I don't want another, if I'm happy living in three rooms in this house right now, and I don't want to clean the other rooms anyways, let alone take care of them or mess with them or anything or paint the walls or whatnot, if I don't want them here, then why would I want them in heaven? I mean, I've never heard of a testimony of anybody that's come back from heaven that said, oh, we all have these wonderful angels that clean everything up, but then wait, is there even dust there? Maybe nothing ever needs to be cleaned. When Odin Hetrick took the hors d'oeuvre off the silver tray, another one just magically appeared. Or should I say supernaturally, for those who are sensitive to certain words. Just remember, Titus 1, verse 15, to the pure, all things are pure. The devil has no original ideas. Oh, he knows how to contort them and twist them and make them filthy. In fact, abominations, no doubt. But, and we're seeing it around us everywhere we look nowadays. Why? Because the Antichrist is running. He is in control of the most influential country on the earth. Internationally influential, let's put it that way. The Antichrist, can you imagine that? The son of perdition, the abomination of desolation, is actually running the greater part of the world today. Is it any surprise to any of us when we read the fourth seal, behold a pale horse, and it says that 25% of the earth will meet with death? Well, the Antichrist at this time cannot get to Russia. He's trying, but the Antichrist intends to provoke Russia to destroy this country, which is that's the crown jewel for the Antichrist, is the destruction of this country, which, by the way, is captured in an entire chapter of the book of Revelation, Revelation 18. Is it any surprise to any of us that we're surrounded with more abominations, more sick, twisted, nausea-inducing things around us coming in from any direction? Yes, we can turn off our TV. We can go hide in the corner. We can go ahead. No, there's nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with that. Except, now see, if you're, there's always exceptions to every rule. There are people that are in the office of a prophet. In their case, they're hearing things from the Lord. They shut themselves off from any inputs. And so they don't really have to sit on their stairs and watch for the thief to break into their house because they're communicating with the Lord prophetically on a regular basis. So they're an exception to the general rule of watching because they're watching through their prophetic word and providing information as best as possible through what they believe that they're hearing. Although today it's very dangerous out there. But anyway, praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, and we ask you, please, in the name of Jesus, these two things. Correct our path if it needs corrected. Watch over us and protect us. We're asking for that protection package to include proactive information given to us, whether it is spoken through a word of knowledge from or just a word that came from you, Father, from one of our fellow brothers and sisters, whether it's an email message of an unknown origin, don't click the links. You might get fished. Okay. But you know what I'm saying? But whatever means, Father, please, in the name of Jesus, do not delay. Keep our path. Keep the promise of Proverbs 3:5. If you're going to keep our path straight, as that scripture says, that if we trust in you, I have this little printed out card, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. That whole scripture, Psalm 56, starting with verse 3, 4, 5, it's like three verses. That whole passage is incredibly powerful. It's awesome. Isaiah 26, 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you because he trusts you. And Proverbs 3, 5, that extra added twist to the end of that scripture where it says that you will keep our paths straight. Some of the translations adjust it slightly, but it essentially means the same thing. Father, if these scriptures be true, then we should be able to trust you to help us, trust you to keep that path straight, trust you. And then on top of that, if we are praying to be counted worthy, especially when two or more are gathered together, on this earth, then that would be the fulfillment of the Word of God. And we praise you for that, Father, because we stand upon it. And we praise you for everything that you have given us, particularly understandings-wise, wisdom-wise, scriptural discernment-wise, understanding what's happening around the world and being able to map it back to, in many cases, not all cases, but in a lot of cases, back to the Bible. Understanding that we are in, there's so many awesome things that you have taught us. Help those, Father God, we pray in Jesus' name, that are new. Maybe somebody's just stumbling over this for the first time. Maybe somebody's listening just maybe not, you know, maybe it's, they're a new listener and we're talking in a very advanced manner that they don't understand. Father, please place it upon their heart to understand that the best starting place is to pray for themselves, because there are people out there that tell you otherwise. They tell you things like, well, if you spend your time praying for other people, you don't have any reason to pray for yourself. And that is absolutely false. Absolutely false. Father, we know that the physician must heal thyself. We know that we must fall in love with you, that is the greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul. Father, there are so many presumptuous sins out there. It's absolutely deep. Let's just say that it's deeply troubling, very, very deeply troubling. And Father, you know that better than anyone. So we ask you, we lift those up as an example before your throne. And we pray in the name of Jesus, Father God, as we know that you will, acknowledge how easy it is for us to veer off that path that you promised to keep straight in Proverbs 3:5. Please, in the name of Jesus, nurture us, talk to us, lead us, guide us. Use thy rod and thy staff, that it should comfort us, that we will stay straight on that path. Teach us, fill us through your grace to fall in love with you. Teach us, Father God, that should be one of the first things we pray for in the morning, then, and to confess, Father, I don't love you as much as I ought. And to understand that there's life and death in the power of the tongue. You might say, well, that's a wide open scripture there. Boy, that could mean a lot of different things. But the key word there is the power of the tongue. We praise you, Father God, for our understanding that we have thus far, understanding also that it is probably woefully weak. We ask you to continue to impart upon us your wisdom as David even shared in Psalm 51. And please, Father, in the name of Jesus, nudge us with thy rod and thy staff. Pull us to the left. Pull us to the right. and smack us on the rump. But please, in the name of Jesus, Father God, we know, A, we have been chosen for a time such as this, which is very significant. Why, we will never figure out. But it is both a blessing and a burden. It is very hard. But it also gave us the opportunity to wake up in time to be able to seek you, unlike other generations that wouldn't have had that advantage. So, Father, we thank you for that. We want to take full advantage of that gift. And we know that everything has to come from love. I personally look at a place like, I don't even want to say the name of it, but I look at a castle, especially one that's kept up today. Oh, we have 140 rooms and all that kind of stuff. And I think to myself, what for? I don't understand what for. Just help us, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to achieve that which you have written in our books in Psalm 39, verse 16, praise Jesus. Help us to understand that before we were born, you had written into our books those things that you wanted for us and expected for us to accomplish. And how different is it? And what a gift, what a special blessing it is, although it don't feel like it most of the time. But what a special blessing it is how did we get here? And why? And if there was, I have a hard time, Father, understanding or even imagining that the things that you do are random, which would indicate most likely that there was a reason why you put us here on the earth at the time that the Antichrist himself is actually destroying the earth. He's in the process of destroying the earth. There must be a reason, and whatever that reason is, Father God, I would submit there's some likelihood that whatever it was that you wrote in our books about our destiny for you must have had a pretty high watermark. It must have been pretty high watermark. I don't know how else to say it. And if that be true, Father God, how much more so do we need your assistance? How much more so do we need your assistance in a day where the Antichrist is causing so much hate, discontent, distractions, everything you could possibly imagine, threats to our ability to be even practice our religion, people being thrown in jail for feeding the hungry. I mean, Father, it's all unfolding before our very eyes. Yet somehow we ended up getting on to whatever, the list of people that would be alive during this time. There's got to be a reason behind it. And Father, we lift up that reason. Only you know that reason. We don't know it. But we pray, Father, in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus, that whatever that reason is, that it will be realized and that we will walk in harmony with your will. And we will, in the name of Jesus, be counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon the earth and stand before you, Lord Jesus, at the wedding supper. I looked into the scripture where it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We oftentimes pull a scripture out without reading, the surrounding text. Sometimes you can get away with that. Other times you have to be a little bit careful. And I wonder to myself, when I read the surrounding text, if the meaning of that specific verse can be taken literally or has to reside within the context of the passage. I'm of the initial feeling that it doesn't stand alone, because that would indicate that everybody that thinks they're going to heaven is going to heaven, which we know is wrong. As a man thinking in his heart, so is he, right? So, Father, we just through deduction, through the gifts that you have given us of intellectual acuity, spiritual sensitivities, and some kind of favor. And I know I did this word study on the word the elect and the implications of the word elect, and that not everybody is part of the elect and all that kind of stuff, Father. And I don't want to let that sink into anybody's heart and cause them to go astray and think that they're special, because we're not. It's us, when we understand how unspecial we are, how vulnerable we truly are, we throw ourselves at the mercy of the court with a contrite spirit, ever hopeful. Guide us, lead us, help us to walk in that perfect harmony. Talk to us loudly, Father God. Let that still small voice shake the mountain and awaken us if there is anything, any presumptuous sin, anything that we feel in our heart that needs to be gotten rid of. Please, Father, in Jesus' name, reveal it to us. And please, Father, count us worthy, Lord Jesus, to be with you at the wedding supper. Please don't leave us behind. Let us not miss the barley harvest and have to defer to the wheat and final harvest. So many of our fellow brothers and sisters will have passed away by virtue of, the meteor and the great earthquake alone is going to kill hundreds and hundreds of millions, if not more. And there's so much more coming. We praise you, Father God, for all of these promises. We pray in Jesus' name that you will answer these prayers expediently. As Daniel said in Daniel 9:19, do not delay. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to be before you, to feel your presence, to feel your presence. We praise you for that. But don't let us veer to the left or to the right. Let that voice that we hear in our ear behind us saying, turn to the left or turn to the right. You know, Isaiah 30:21, praise you, Jesus. You will hear in your ear behind you a voice saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the left hand or whenever you turn to the right. Father, let us hear that voice real strong in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise and honor. And Father, we love you. We love you. We love you. Lord Jesus, we love you more than anything. We need to spend more time with you. Lord, please help those of us who are working demanding jobs and under additional burdens and health problems and different things. Please afford us a little extra mercy and grace so that we will be able to have more time to spend in your presence, to fall much more deeply in love with you than we are at this time. We need your help in all those regards. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you, Father God. Amen. Tonight is Friday, March the 29th of the year 2024. I got my eyes set on 2025 as our departure year. That's me, but I'm weird like that. And that's actually pretty conservative. There's a lot of people thinking it's going to be this year. I just don't think so. I don't think it's going to be just my personal thoughts are it's going to be probably right about the time that World War III goes totally hot. I'm talking about really close to the time when, you know, Tu-95 bombers are flying overhead. Okay. But I don't know. You know, that's what I feel in my heart. And I don't know exactly when that's going to be. But I do see a convergence occurring. I do see the planets aligning. I do see that they're cranking up the CERN thing. I do see that some scientists have blown the whistle and admitted that they are. You know, it's one thing when you have alarmist Christians saying, oh, they're trying to bring demons over. Well, you know, same with the American Express card being the mark of the beast. I've lived through it all. I've watched Christians. I saw the thousands of Christians standing on the side of the road trying to warn the people about the shot. Not that that wasn't a good thing to do, but putting up signs and saying you're going to burn in hell, you're taking the mark of the beast. The Bible, it's It's not ambiguous. It means what it says. It's literal. It's, you know, there are very, very few. When you understand the alien threat with fallen angels, when you understand some of the other things, you know, like holy watchers that are mentioned in two different verses in the book of Daniel, when you understand these concepts, when you ask yourself, who are the sons of Arcturus that our Father has talked about in the book of Job? What is the belt of Orion? And why did he even mention it in such a daring tone? Can you loose the belt of Orion? Can you guide the sons of Arcturus? Those two scriptures alone should have us all meditating and seeking God for hundreds of hours, because it opens up our hearts and our minds to an understanding that is so far beyond space-time, in this trap, in this hologram of filth that we're stuck in right now. That's both a blessing and a burden. It's always, it's never A or B. It's always C, all of the above. It's all of the above. Father, we want to achieve all of the above. We want to do it for you. Whatever your choice is, we submit to it. Help us to walk in your will, please. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. And tonight, together, we light the Sabbath candles, or the Shabbat candles, if you would prefer. I like to light three, one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There we go. Thank you, Lord. And, of course, if you don't want to light candles, you don't have to. If you want to eat pork, you can. If you want to eat shellfish, you can. I'm not saying, you know, if you feel other ways about things, go for it. As a matter of fact, that is the spirit. That is the actual intent of the entire, you know, the vast majority of the first several passages, paragraphs of Romans 14, to help us to understand that those restrictions are no longer required of us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for teaching us that love is the fulfillment of the law. Praise you, Father. The Hebrew Kiddush.
Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Bore peri hagafen. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kitshanu b'mitzvotav v'ratzavanu, v'shabat kodsho v'ava uv'ratzon hinchilanu, Zikaron lemase vereshit. Ki hu yom techila lemikrae kodesh, zecher yetziat mitzrayim. Kivanu vacharta, veotanu kidashta, mikol hamim, veshabat kodshecha, be'ava uvratzon, hinchaltanu. Baruch atah Adonai mekadesh ha-shabbat.
Arise, my love. I'll give that another try. Arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place. For now is the time to arise and come away with me. For you are my dove, hidden in the split-open rock. It was I who took you and hid you up high in the secret stairway of the sky. Let me see your radiant face and hear your sweet voice. How beautiful your eyes are in worship, and lovely your voices in prayer. You must catch those troubling foxes, those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship, for they raid our budding vineyard of love to ruin what I've planted within you. Will you catch them and remove them for me? We will do it together. See your miraculous signs. All the prophets are gone, and no one can tell us when it will end. Oh, how long, God, will you allow our enemies to insult you? Will you let them dishonor your name forever? Why do you hold back your strong right hand? Unleash your powerful fist and destroy them. Psalm 79:74, verse 9 NLT. Praise you, Jesus. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. 1 Samuel 12:23. Praise you, Father. You have heard that it was said you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, that's Jesus, by the way. I say, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, if you greet your brethren only, notice that it calls out the brethren right here. What do you do more than others? It's admonishing us to touch other people's lives outside of the church. Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5:43-47. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others, will they themselves be refreshed? Proverbs 11:25. We praise your name. At this time, I'm going to anoint myself with my holy oil. Hopefully you have some too. If you don't, okay. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, and by the blood of the Lamb of God, our King, in Jesus' name. Any entity of the darkness, worker of saint and live or dead human spirit, member of a witch coven, anything that cannot call Jesus Christ its Lord and Savior, that at the moment that it sets its will against us, that it shall be immediately struck by the holy fire of God. We command this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father God, we declare a thorny hedge of protection, a whirlwind of the Holy Spirit to blow the fire of God white hot around our dwelling places, Father God, that it shall scatter the darkness in all directions and be extensible and expand outward whenever the darkness attempts to approach it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And Father, we pray for warrior angels to stand guard at the entrance of our dwelling places. Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus that the angels will follow us wherever we go, that the holy fire will surround us when we are in our automobiles traveling, Father God, or walking somewhere. In the name of Jesus, we pray this divine protection upon our loved ones. If they have strayed, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that a touch will come upon them, an anointing will come upon them, an event will come upon them, a chastening will come upon them. Whatever needs to happen, Father God, that they will be redirected back into the fold, back into your love, back into your divine protection. We know that you are going to do this. We trust you, Father God. For those of us who have loved ones who we believe are not saved, Father, we pray, save their souls in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God, for answering these prayers. We know and we trust you, and we know that according to your will, you would want not one to perish. We know what your scripture says. We stand upon it as a promise, and we thank you, Father God, for saving their souls. Father, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus for a platoon of warrior angels to be assigned to each of us. This is an extension prayer, Father God, that goes beyond those who are protecting our dwelling places and following us about. Father, we are praying for extra angelic protection at this time because of the days that we live in right now. And we pray in the name of Jesus that they will be on assignment, that they will ferret out all demonic attempts to come against us, any open portals, any earthly or spiritual weapons or fiery darts, Father God, that they will squelch the fiery darts, that the fire of God will vaporize the earthly or spiritual weapons or the contracts or agreements that were formed and ratified by the darkness, Father God. They are to be eliminated and vaporized with the other weaponry in the name of Jesus. It has no power over us. We command it in Jesus' name. Vaporize it in Jesus' name. Fire of God, explode around us and kill the demons of darkness, Father God. Send them right into the pit and render them ineffective, for we have come to punish them before their time, because your scripture says that greater things than these will we do, because our King has gone unto the Father, John 12, 13 and 14. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father. We thank you, Father God, for your divine protection. We pray that we will operate under an open heaven. We pray, Father God, that you will give us the time, the energy, the strength, the health, Father God, in Jesus' name, to be able to spend more time in prayer, especially those of us who have to deal with the workplace and the fatigue that comes along with it. Father God, we just pray in Jesus' name for an anointing to come upon each of us, an anointing, Father God, that one that's far beyond our understanding, that helps us to be able to contend with you. For I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Keep me in remembrance and let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. Isaiah 43:25. And we praise you, Father God, for those words because we stand upon them. We are here to work with you. Isaiah 6:8. Father God, we praise your name for that. We are here. We are here, Father God, and we raise our hands. We are here to become prayer warriors for you, to pray for the lost across the world, to pray for our loved ones, to pray for our fellow brothers and sisters, Father God, that we may all maintain that straight path that you have promised us in Proverbs 3:5, in Jesus' name. Holy Lord Jesus, please cleanse and totally purify our heart, our soul, our spirit, our mind, our flesh, our record-keeping books in heaven, and our robe and gown in heaven, and our tongues, with your precious blood and your holy fire. Purify our thoughts, that they may be in harmony with your love. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, we exercise the rule of the victor over all demonic regions that have set their wills against us. We exercise the rule of the victor against all the demonic regions that have permitted spirits enter through their territory for the purpose of coming against us. We command in Jesus' name that they be immediately cut off from ever receiving power from the kingdom of darkness again. We require the immediate disbursement of all of their funds from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We require the immediate destruction of all their books and artifacts of sorcery. We require the immediate reversal of all of their schemes, cancellation of all of their assignments and agreements against us. Penalties applied. We cast them into the pit and we declare the fire of God to weld the pit shut in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We come before your throne of grace, before your courts of heaven, as a royal priesthood, a holy nation, 1 Peter 2:9. We state our case, Father God, before you, that we may be acquitted, Isaiah 43:26. And we praise you, Father God, that our mediator has not transgressed against you. Praise you, Father. And Lord God Almighty, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We consecrate ourselves into your holy hands. We consecrate ourselves into your absolute and total ownership, Lord Jesus. Father, we don't want you to be our co-pilot. We want you to fly the ship, Father God. Fly it for us. We want to walk in the whirlwind of the Holy Spirit that follows you as you move miraculously through many realms that we do not have any comprehension of. Steer it. Direct us. lead us, teach us. In Jesus' name we pray, and thank you so much, Father. Thank you so much, Father God. Amen.
Lord, let me always follow you and humble my heart.
Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12:1. Let the sea roar and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it, let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. Psalm 98:7. So I said, oh, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Psalm 55:6. praise you, Jesus. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Song of Psalms 2:14. Who are these that fly as a cloud, and as the doves to their window? Isaiah 60:8. We are weary with groaning, Father. All night we make our bed swim. We drench our couch with our tears. Our eyes waste away with grief. It grows old because of our enemies. Depart from us, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of our weeping. The Lord has heard our supplication. The Lord will receive our prayer. Psalm 6, 6. The king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. That one is a good one to keep on a card in your pocket. When you're worried, I have so many of them, but I'll just focus on this one, or else I'll go down a 31,102 verse rabbit hole. Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. When you're worried about your boss, when you're worried about this, that, or the other thing, when you're worried about the customer that you're working with, whatever the situation is, when you're worried whether or not your application for that new dwelling place will be approved or not, remember, the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Our Father turns their hearts. He's in control of their decisions, their choices. But at the same time, he will also look out for you. Sometimes the answer might not be the one that you think it ought to be. So always be patient, pray always, believe. And praise. Always praise. You praise God every day for everything that you've received, but also especially everything, every prayer, every request that has not been answered. And then you will see the answer. And you might even receive the answer long before you realize that you've received the answer. It could be years later. Hopefully we don't have that long here to find out. Or could even be in eternity. Praising causes the enemy to run scared. 2 Chronicles 20:22. The moment that they began their shouts and praises, the Lord set an ambush against the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the inhabitants of Mount Seir, who came to fight against Judah. And they were defeated. The moment they began their shouts and praises. How long do you think they were fighting? How many lives were lost? The moment they began their shouts and praises, the Lord set the ambush. It's a powerful lesson to be learned right there. Wow. Paul and Silas, undaunted, prayed in the middle of the night and sang songs and praise to God while all the other prisoners listened to their worship. Suddenly, a great earthquake shook the foundations of the prison. And all at once, every prison door flung open and the chains of the prisoners became loose. Wow. Sounds to me like praise is pretty powerful. How much more powerful is it for you to be praising God for that which you have not received? I've read probably about 4 books, you know. I consider a book a book. It's a booklet if it's under 200 pages. If it's over 200 pages, it's a book. But anyway, about Smith Wigglesworth. Now, I've covered a lot of others as well, you know, Lester Summerall and just bunches of others. But anyway, I always learn, when we learn so much through the application of the word, by the testimony of our fellow brothers and sisters who have experienced it, because it's experiential learning. It's one thing if you read a book about, you know, how to do this or how to do that, but it isn't until you actually pick up the tools and do the job that you learn what you need to know. You learn, oh, if I had only turned it this way, it would have been so much easier. If I had only done this, it would have been, you know, and that, those are the secrets. Those are the mysteries. Those are the things that we should hunger and thirst for. That's why I always, always like to read as much as I can. You know, but there's a, you know, the list is always big. It's hard, but I love to read about, you know, God's lieutenants, A.A. Allen, all the, you know, they refer to them as God's lieutenants and generals. It's kind of a metaphor for them being very good at that which God was had called them to do. But anyway, why do I bring that up? So in one of the books with Smith Wigglesworth, he tells, I believe it was actually written, I think it was the biography written by Stanley Frodsham, who was the recipient of that prophecy that we are all blessed with now, today. He was given the Stanley Frodsham was given the prophecy back in the 50s, I believe it was, maybe early 60s, about the seducing spirits that God sends down to the earth for the days that we're in right now, which is why, one of the many reasons, but there are other reasons as well, but which is why we, so many of the prophetic words that are out there, particularly on YouTube, like one person was pushing me really hard to go, oh, this girl, she's definitely hearing from God. Oh, she's definitely here. And of course, you know, Sister Nancy and I went out and looked, and first thing we noticed was she was telling everybody that the earth is flat. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I know it's not. And so then how is it that I am to trust the rest of your prophecies? It, you know, it calls into question, how well is that person actually hearing? Now, it doesn't mean that God won't use you if you're imperfect, because God will use imperfect people. Believe me. Okay. I'm a living, walking, talking example of that if there ever was one. Okay. But when I read the biography of Smith Wigglesworth, there was one story in particular that, well, all of the stories were awesome. And it was Stanley Frodsham that wrote the book. And Smith Wigglesworth would, he spent all of his time, you know, when you get past the point of his earlier life and all that kind of stuff and his work with the Salvation Army and with his wife, and when you finally get into the point where he matures into a full time ministry for the Lord, he is constantly moving from place to place. Of course, from revival to revival around the world. In fact, they riding steamships, you know, that's how they traveled back then. And in the circuit of the various places that the Lord would have him travel to, sometimes they were unusual places and special asks. And so, you know, he would have a pastor or somebody contact him via telegram and, you know, tell him how they're going to pay for his expenses and everything so he can go to Sweden. And in that particular case, when he went to Sweden, believe it or not, I guess I, knowing how Sweden is, historically, I'm not too surprised about this, but they had actually instituted a law, knowing that Smith Wigglesworth was coming to Sweden and knowing what he did, they had put a municipal law in place that nobody can lay hands on another person. As insane as that is, believe it or not, they actually came up with that. And so Smith said he was undaunted. He stood at, you know, up. Well, I'm sure they had a stage erected so the people, because there were hundreds and hundreds of people in this park, you know, and they all came to be in the presence of the Lord and hear what Smith had to say. And surely some were there specifically to receive divine healing. And because the municipality had outlawed laying hands on other people, he said to the people in the park, I would expect that he probably had no amplification system back then. He probably had to yell pretty loud. But he told them, he said, lay hands on yourself. And they did, and he prayed, and people were getting healed of all kinds of sicknesses, going out in the spirit all over the park. So God works in mysterious ways, okay? Because that's not scriptural. And there's plenty of Christians out there that are self-righteous, et cetera, and think they know everything. And, you know, and that's the first sign. When you run across a Christian that comes to you and says, you know, with great authority that they're going to tell you exactly how everything is because they got all the answers, well, there's your first warning. Praise God. But anyway, that's a segue into this other testimony. One, there was a particular venue that he would go to, I guess, annually, maybe more often than that. I don't know. And he was very well known during his time there. People would travel a long distance to come to a revival with Smith at the helm. And in his testimony, he explains that there was this woman. She was an older lady. And he had prayed. You know, one of the things that you never – this is a fascinating anomaly associated with the walk of a Christian. You never hear the bad stuff. I mean, you do. You hear the mention of it occasionally. Like, a lot of people don't realize that there are scriptures in the New Testament that even go as far as saying our fellow brothers and sisters have been sawn asunder. Okay? So you think, you know, it was, you know, some of the things that people, persecutions that people, our brothers and sisters before us had gone through. I don't know about you, but that wouldn't be one of my first picks, is laying down on a table, having my hands and feet tied, and letting them saw me in half. And that's in the New Testament. I just don't know the scripture. And it's tricky to find, too, because you have to trigger on the word asunder or sawn. I can try that one. And I know that I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to look in the King James. Let me see if I can find it here. Oh, there it is. Wow. There it is. Yeah. So, okay, good. I'll start with Hebrews 11:32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fall. Fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, Samson and Japheth, also of David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of the lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight in the armies of the aliens. That would not be the fallen angels there. And women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and of imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted and slain with the sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. All of these having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. That is a fancy-pantsy way of saying, ain't nobody going to heaven without Jesus. And if you understand how it works, now, the word purgatory is not proper. It is a heresy that was created by the Roman Catholic Church for the purpose of convincing the congregation that if they would give more money to the church, that the priest would somehow pull strings and their relatives who are stuck in purgatory would be released and they'd be able to go to heaven. Now, that was a twist. Remember, the devil has no original ideas. That's a perfect, absolutely brilliant example of how the devil twists the truth. Turns out that there is a place. Okay, so Dante's Inferno, many of you may not have ever heard of it before, but it is a famous work of art. And the guy had to have had visions and dreams and stuff. And I do not envy him because those would paralyze me with trauma the rest of my life. But it's he depicted hell in levels. And it got progressively more horrible the further down you went. Guess what? He was right. At the very top of hell, before you actually are cast into hell, where you cannot return out of, at the very top, there is a level known as limbo. Now, of course, we think of the word limbo meaning one of, you know, many different things. But really, when you think about it, the word limbo, in its most raw meaning, is, you know, Webster's dictionary sort of meaning, is to be stuck in a place where you're stuck. You're in limbo. You can't turn to the left. You can't turn to the right. You can't go up. You can't go down. You're stuck there. You're in limbo. You don't have any options. And so that makes it the perfect name for this place, because the patriarchs of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, those that were truly holy, those that did their best to follow the law of Moses, those that did not get trapped by the Babylonian Talmud lies from Shabbat, Lubavitch, and all these other evil entities. The Josephs, the Jeremiahs, the Isaiahs, the Davids. And probably millions of others. They had to go to limbo, which evidently is a pretty nice place. So they weren't like going, oh no, this is horrible. There's fire everywhere. No, limbo is a pretty nice place. But they had to hang out there a long, long time. All I can wonder in my heart for their sake is that time somehow was sped up in limbo. Because it would have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Because it wasn't until Jesus died on the cross that he went down to get them. And then they were released and allowed to go to heaven. So Smith is at this place he goes to regularly. And this woman comes there with a goiter on her neck. Some big bulbous cyst on her neck. Very obvious, very embarrassing for her. And Smith prayed over it for her to be healed. Now, getting back to what I say, we hardly ever hear the bad things. You know, when we hear, you know, we hear that Paul wept, but we never really hear, like, what do you think Peter was saying when they were putting him upside down on the cross? You know, could you move my leg a little to the left? That feels a little itchy. You know, I mean, there's the human part of the Bible that we miss out on. We have to, our sanctified imagination has to fill in the blanks. But anyway, in this particular case, the biography talked about this woman who had been prayed for by Smith, but obviously had not received her healing. Because when he went back the next time to the same venue, she was there again with the goiter. However, this time, she stood up in front of everybody because Smith asked for testimonies. And she stood up in front of everybody with that goiter on her neck. And she said, I just wanted to praise Jesus and thank our Father for healing me of this goiter. I know that it is not there and it is gone. Hallelujah. And of course, Smith would clap and everything. But you never hardly ever, when you read books about whoever it is you're reading the book about, you know, a biblical leader or whatever, you hardly ever hear the bad stuff. Especially, you have to like think it over. It's obvious because here's Smith Wigglesworth, the most prolific divine healer alive on the earth at this time. And he prayed over that woman's goiter and she did not receive her healing. Can you imagine that? Do you think that stopped Smith? When I was taking the divine healing training from Curry Blake's, John G. Lake Ministries, it was all on DVDs and stuff. It was a lot of hours, but anyway, He would say to the people, the students, I was one of them, that when you're going down the line of the people who are standing for healing at the altar, don't allow them to suck into the long story version of what's wrong with them, because there's other people that are waiting and the movement of the spirit cannot be interrupted. So he would say, can you tell me what's wrong with you? Very briefly, they would say so, and then he would pray for them. And then he would move to the next, pray for them, move to the next. Sometimes people would distract and say, well, my aunt, uncle, and my uncle, and then in 1934, and he'd say, no, just tell me what's wrong with you, just what is wrong with you. And he'd keep them on track. He'd steer them and keep them on track. And sometimes he would be like the first, second, third, fourth, fifth person. They'd all go out in the spirit, receive their healing immediately. The next person would just stand there like a lump on the log. And he said, when that happens, you just go to the next person, you go to the next person, you go to the next person. So Smith, of course, would be undaunted by the fact that this woman's goiter was still there after he prayed over it. She came back the next Tommy was there, I would assume it had been an annual cadence, and she stood up. Smith said, anybody got any testimonies out there? And a whole bunch of people stood up to give testimony, and there she was with that goiter on her neck, praising God fervently in front of everybody because she received her healing. And Smith rooted her on and said, praise God, thank you, Jesus. The next year, third year, he comes back again. Or the second year, he comes back again. Comes back again, same thing. She stands up, tells everybody in the church. There were even people murmuring in the church, like, what's the matter with this woman? Doesn't she realize how big that thing is? And she's there, praise Jesus, I received healing for this goiter. And I don't remember exactly how many years that he had gone back there that this woman imagine, let's just pretend for a moment that the cadence of his return to that venue was annually. Can you imagine? That woman, I would have to believe with all of my heart, praised God for that healing every single day. I believe that when she was in public and people pointed to her, that she turned right to them and said out loud, oh, God has healed this. God has healed this. Jesus has already healed this, and walked right on. That's what I believe. Well, on one particular evening, she came back again and praised God, and that dang thing fell off, and everybody in the church was blown away, because most of them had watched this woman come back year after year telling everybody and praising God, thanking the Lord that it was gone. It's fascinating when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13. It's mainly in 12 where it talks about the nine major gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting because you have the gift of healing, and then you have a separate gift, which is known as the gift of miracles. Isn't it fascinating that the two are separate? Now, I can understand why they would be separate, because there's many different kinds of miracles. So that makes sense. But the implication is that because miracles is a separate gift of the Holy Spirit, that not all healings are miraculous. If we could all learn, I'm raising my hand, if we could all learn to be like that lady, to praise God, knowing that we have received it, knowing that he has answered it, knowing that that angel is on the way with the answer to your prayer, maybe detained like the angel in Daniel, I think it's 10, 9 and 10, 21-day fast period, you know, story. But, you know, who cares? We know what the answer is. Praise. Worship, power, life and death in the power of the tongue, the power of the tongue. Not life and death in the power of the thought. That can be life and death for you, okay? But you can actually exude, project power through your tongue, through the utterances of your tongue. Add in the power of praise and the power of worship, and I don't see how you can be stopped, except you're impatient and you're waiting for God to hand you the Big Mac out the window. We've all got to let that go, because the Lord God tests the righteous, and not all healings are miraculous. Some of them take a while. And if you stop praising God for that which you have already received, because your eyes deceive you, believe and know that God is going to come through. He will. I'm not going to give you all my testimonies. I've got plenty of them that are demonstrable of that same dynamic. Certainly not anything as powerful as the lady with the goiter, though, however. There was another testimony that was really amazing, where they had gathered around, I think it was about three men, not that it matters whether it was men or women, it doesn't matter, it's irrelevant. There were three folks that were praying for very sick and hadn't been at work for like many months, okay, bedridden sick. And they gathered around this individual. They were determined that they were going to get this person healed. And they had all the faith in the world. Now, I'm not going to get into, there are some people that incorrectly teach that it has everything to do with the faith of the person who is, I'll make it simple. It has to do with the faith of the divine healer. If the divine healer does not have the faith, then the person will not get healed. That is false. It has to do with both the faith of the divine healer and the faith of the person receiving. It's both. It's always all of the above. And I can show you the scriptures to prove it, but I'm not going to get into that. And the testimonies to prove it as well. But that dynamic is so important for all of us to understand. If we applied it to all parts of our lives, I mean, I'm just amazed at how many things just happen. Like I ask for the listeners of the program and people that are close to me through the program in many cases to pray. They say, well, how do you need us to pray for? How do you need me to pray for you, John? You know, what do you need, John? I don't have any. I mean, I have a dwelling place, so I'm good there. And I have a job, and that's pretty much it. I don't have anything else. I mean, I'm not complaining. I don't have a family or what, any of that kind of stuff where I can, you know, do things very often, or company or whatever. I don't have any, you know, Christian friends. I choose not to go to a church. I choose not to go there because I'm impetuous. The Lord told me I'm impetuous, and I'm deeply, deeply troubled when things are said that will end up misleading the people in the congregation in a negative manner, and it troubles me very, very deeply, and because of that, I cannot be there because my heart, I can't, I gotta be like, this is not right. This is not right. So it's better for me to just steer clear of it. The other problem is they always want me to come when I'm doing a radio show. Once they find out about the radio show, it's game over. Now they think I'm, oh, he's a demonic entity. He needs to be stopped in this lifetime. And they come after me like, you are not of the body, you know, with their hands raised. I'm like, I don't need that, you know. But anyway, I choose my solitude. I mean, I wish, you know, that things were a little bit different. I wish that there were more believers that were nearby me, but we're all spread out all over the place. You think there might be a reason for that? You think there might be a reason for that? I kind of wonder. It makes sense. If you look at this as a type of God at war in the very end of times for the last remaining souls that he's going to be able to gather up before things get really bad, because it's going to be a lot harder to win souls once the Great Tribulation kicks off. It's going to be a lot harder. People will be so horrified. See, when people are running for their lives, it's kind of hard to get them to stop long enough to receive. And then, you know, imagine how hard it is to tell somebody about the love of Jesus Christ when you've got reptilians chasing you down the street to eat you. But anyway, I can see them now. Show me that in the Bible. You know, I was like, I mean, believe it or not, it's there. But most people have no idea. And so it just wouldn't be the ideal time. Praise God. But anyway, the moral of the story is pray, praise, power of the tongue, believe. Do not give up. If I gave testimony to every little thing that was a miracle in my life, it's just stuff, you know? It's stuff. A lot of right nowadays, it's not really big stuff just nowadays because I'm pretty stable, you know, and the only thing I can think of that I really need prayer for is my job. And you know what? Those prayers have been answered. I haven't had one of them blow up on me yet. Oh, boy. Some of them came real close. Do you know what? For some reason, the Lord has been doing a wonderful thing for me, and I pray in Jesus' name, Father, please do the same wonderful thing for the listeners in Jesus' name and help them to trust you as you have helped me to trust you. Not that I have arrived. I want so much more of you, Father. Praise you, Jesus, for this wonderful opportunity to be able to worship you. You're awesome. thank you for everything that you have done for us. I mean, every day. Thank you for our dwelling places. Thank you for our food. Thank you for letting us have our creature comforts. Thank you for counting us worthy to escape all these things. We praise your holy name. And now we worship you by entering into communion.
Disciples were seated about you at the eve of unleavened bread. You said, I eagerly yearn that you suffer so his children could be fed. I can only imagine the silence in the room as you passed on the bread to be torn. They did not understand reach of his plan, his love, we were told, to rejoice, not to mourn. So we gather, remembering the glory of the Lamb, the one who was slain for the seed of Abraham. As we long for your coming, we imagine the feast, the King and his bride, when I'm waiting his feast. Wilson went back up to heaven to plead to the heavenly court. You lifted the cup of forgiveness. It was paid, it was done, you had covered the cause. And I can only imagine the thunderous sound as all heaven exploded in cheers. We were free from our chains. All that remains is to never give in. We are destined to win. So we gather, remembering the healer of our soul, destroyer of death, the Lord of our all, the light in our armor, the edge of our sword, the King of all kings, and the Lord of all lords. For we believe in our land, all of creation restored by his hand, eternity, all is revealed. By the time we remember, all scars will be healed. As we long for your coming, we imagine the feast, the Lord and his bride, when our waiting has ceased.
His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate upon these things. He, Jesus, went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Matthew 26, 39. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by the angels, preached amongst the Gentiles, and believed upon in the world, received up in the glory. 1 Timothy 3:16. We pray for purification based upon Psalm 51, 1 through 14. Father God, we pray, Jesus, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. Remember, we are dust. According to all of your loving kindness and according to the multitude of your tender mercies, we pray, Father, please, even though we know that we don't deserve it, blot out all of our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity. Cleanse us from our sin. For we acknowledge our transgressions. Our sin is always before us. Against you, you only, we have sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge, Father. Behold, we were brought forth in iniquity, and in sin our mothers conceived us. Behold, you desire truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part you will make us to know more and more of your wisdom, Father. Pour it out upon us in the name of Jesus. Purge us with your hyssop, and we shall be clean. Wash us, and we shall be whiter than snow. Father, we pray that you will place joy, an anointing of joy, and an anointing of gladness through your grace upon each of our hearts. That the trials, the tribulations, the difficulties, and the hardships that we have endured throughout our lives will not hinder our seeking of your grace. Hide your face from our sins and blot out all of our iniquities. And Father, please create in us a clean heart, a clean heart. And renew a steadfast spirit within us, not one that wavers, but one that has faith and praises and worships you for things we have long yet to see. Do not cast us away from your presence. And Father, don't let us grieve the Holy Spirit. Help us, guide us, thump us on the head. Use thy rod and thy staff to comfort us. We praise your name. And then we will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Father God, and one more thing, please deliver us from the guilt of our past sins. And then our tongues will sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord's Supper, Holy Communion. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Ani, Ladodi, Vidodi, Li. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine.
You were strong, you were kind, you were just. you are aiming for the goal. And you were smiling over strong and secure through your word, like a shepherd guiding his herd, giving shelter to the soul. Cause I know that your word holds power to grow. Do you feel it as serenity whispers to me? You were hurt for my offense, you were sick for my defeat, you were poor for my prosperity, you are strong when I am weak. I praise you, my Redeemer, I praise you, Majesty. You were left by God Almighty to always be with me, and I know I will never be.
Sons of God. We are the masters of the devil and the demons, and we are the servants and foot washers of mankind. Ezekiel 22:30. Oh, so I sought for a man amongst them who would make a wall and stand in a gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Isaiah 6:8. Also, we heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send who will go for us? Here we are, Father, send us. John 14:12-14. Most assuredly, I say to you that he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Keywords, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. When you are outside of that, you have to examine your motives for prayer. And now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Ephesians 3:20. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Destroy the works of the devil. Oh, wait, how can I do that? Intensified prevailing prayer is God's ordained law and method for implementing his redemptive plan in this age until Jesus returns. It is the highest, the holiest, and the mightiest effort of which a child of God is capable. It is God's chosen way to bring heaven's power, heaven's resources, and heaven's angels into action upon the earth. Charles Spurgeon said, he who knows how to overcome with God in prayer has heaven and earth at his disposal. Intensified prayer is clothed with the might of God himself. Written by Wesley L. Duell, the book is Mighty Prevailing Prayer. James 5:16b. The effective, fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. Fervent meaning having or displaying a passionate intensity, impassioned, passionate, intense, vehement, ardent, sincere, fervid, and heartfelt. Don't forget. 2 Kings 20:5. Hezekiah was already given a death sentence by our Heavenly Father. And then in that verse, our Father says to him, I have seen your tears, and I will answer you. We cast out demons. Mark 16:17-18. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues, and they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. The word also means to ingest. It also, this scripture is also in direct harmony with when Paul got his hand bitten by the deadly viper on Malta. And it will be by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Does it say immediately? No, it does not. I had a permanent loss of smell, which also means a loss of taste. I'm not going to get into details of how it happened, but it was a, let's just say, a bad over-the-counter medicine. They should have been sued out of existence, but they weren't, which shocked me. But anyway, so I went for pretty much a year, and I could not taste any food. I could not smell any smells. And I went to my sister's house at Christmas time, which, of course, is the one time when you really want to be able to taste things and smell things, because it was the normal, you know, layout, buffet of incredible stuff. We'll just leave it at that. But I couldn't smell a thing. At this point, I was probably about 5 months into it. I told my sister, and my sister, as imperfect as she is, like all of us, she pulls a chair out in front of the entire group. There's probably 30 people there. She pulls it right up in the front, right in the middle of the room, to make a spectacle of me. And I sat down on the chair, She came over and laid hands on me, and she didn't pray the same way as I would have prayed, but she talked to Jesus, and she said, "Now, Jesus, this is my brother John, and he can't smell and he can't taste, and it's been going on for a long time. We figure enough is enough, and we pray in Jesus' name that you will heal him. Thank you, Jesus, for healing him." I completed my vacation. I still didn't taste or smell anything. Came back home, went back to work. A couple more months went by. Still didn't smell anything, still didn't taste anything. And then one morning I was in the shower. And suddenly I smelled a burst of flowers and strawberries. Therein lies the end of the story. Another example of how we need to get past ourselves, know our scripture, and be obedient. And God will take care of the rest. We really, really put too much into ourselves and not nearly enough into God and the faith in, that we ought to have in God. And praising him for what we already know we have. 2 Corinthians 10:4 through 6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, if I was to put my own personal adjustments to this, basically casting down arguments and every high thing. What this isn't talking about you're having a fight with a demon. This is talking about influences, demonic dark influences, trying to convince, sort of like when Jesus was taken out into the desert and Satan was trying to trick him by using God's very own words and twisting them, you know. And then Jesus fought back by simply using the scripture the proper way. But sometimes we read scriptures, you know, the weapons of our warfare, spiritual warfare, are not carnal, meaning they're not earthly, they're not knives, they're not stun guns, they're not pepper spray, they're not anything like that. We don't use those things. We don't need them. We don't need them. We get the power of Jesus Christ in us. We're a walking part of the Godhead. And casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's just the influences of the principalities, the powers of spiritual hosts of wickedness, and all their pathetic minions that we have power over. The only time we become victims is when we fail to execute upon the word of God. Ephesians 6:10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but instead, see, we wrestle against principalities. We wrestle against powers. We wrestle against rulers of the darkness of this age. We wrestle against spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. I don't know about you, but I have never seen a passive wrestling match. And, you know, I think that really the only reason why it uses the word wrestle is because since these entities are ethereal, they can't be killed. They're just going to live in their abode in hell forever in the lake of fire when this is all over. So it would be, you can't really, the scripture can't say, so we do not, you know, we don't wrestle, you know, we don't, you know, destroy or kill flesh and blood. And, you know, we don't destroy and kill principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this age. We do not destroy and kill because you can't technically. So we wrestle. I think the choice of the word wrestle came about due to the fact that these entities are going to be ultimately allowed to do what they do until they are finally cast into the lake of fire. And then who knows, you know, then they got eternity and hellfire to deal with and all that other just disgusting, filthy creatures from the bowels of Sheol. Let me tell you something, folks. you take a couple of really good whoopings from the darkness, and, you know, having love for your fellow neighbors, no problem. Because every time you see somebody that's misbehaving, all you see is a devil that you want to kick its butt down the street, back and forth, call the fire of God down upon it, make it scream in horrific agony, make a public spectacle of it. First Corinthians 2:17, I think it is, I forget. But anyway, that's the one thing we can take out our frustrations on. You ever think of that? If you're going to walk in Christ, there's not a lot we can take out our frustrations on, is there? Not much that we can, you know, let that steam out over, is there? Not much at all, except these principalities, these demons. You don't need to be upset with the people that are doing the things they're doing, because it's not them that's doing it. They're just under the control of the demons. And we got control of the demons, so that means we got control of them. But you got to know it. You have to execute on the promise. Mark 9:25, when Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Exclamation point. Matthew 12:28-30, Jesus said, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? So you kick out the strong man demon. That's the senior demon. They're in hierarchy. Everything is a kingdom. Everything is a kingdom. Everything is a hierarchy. There's a boss man, cut off the head of the snake. The rest of the snake dies, right? Get the rest of the demons out. It's absolutely true. It works. And when you're in the deliverance ministry, this is something that you learn rather quickly. Matthew 12:43-45, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places and seeking rest and finds none. And then he says, I will return to my house, the body of the individual that they were cast out of, or the building or whatever. From which I came, and when he goes, he comes and finds it empty, swept, and put in order. And then he goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation. And this just aligns perfectly with when Jesus told the man, now go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. The other thing you need to be is you need to be taught how to fight back, because those demons are stupid. They are really stupid. Really, really, really stupid. Stupid. So you know, they're going to come back, and you're going to have to fight. After a while, you get control of them, and they'll leave you alone. Call down the fire of God and cluster bombs on them things, you'd be surprised how fast they go away. Oh, my goodness. They hate the fire of God. They hate it. There's nothing more horrific to them than that. Once I realized that the fire of God was actually the most powerful weapon that we were given, scriptures all over the Bible started to open up. It was amazing. Just amazing. The fire that the two witnesses breathe out of their mouths, that's Christians using the fire of God as a weapon against the darkness for 3.5 years. But wait, when is that? I would submit that it is the Great Tribulation. Oh, that's a long story. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up a golden cup of forgiveness before you, and we ask you to pour it out upon the lands of Gaza, upon the lands of Israel, Father, upon the lands of the Ukraine, upon the lands that are warring right now, upon the places in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Father God, where there are bands of robbers, marauders, and rapists running free. Father, these dangerous places across this world that need to be reeled in. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you will pour out forgiveness upon the peoples of those lands. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In the name of Jesus, Father, we pray, even if but for a time, we're looking for a breakthrough. For we confess of their sins before thee, Father, like Nehemiah did in chapter 1, verse 6, and Daniel did in chapter 9. We confess of their sins before you. We confess of the sins of their first fathers and their father's fathers until before there was time. We break all yokes of bondage. We renounce all things spoken of in the darkness against them. We break all generational and bloodline curses throughout every branch of their family trees until before creation. We part the spiritual realm as the Red Sea above the lands of Gaza, above the lands of Israel, above the lands of the Middle East, above the lands of the Ukraine, above the lands of Russia, Father God, in the name of Jesus, above the lands of Africa, hallelujah, wherever there is strife, wherever there is war, in the name of Jesus, we part the spiritual realm in Jesus' name, and we declare the holy fire of God to hold that part, that pathway open, to scatter the demons of darkness in all directions, that the angels may move freely, heaven's power, heaven's resources, and heaven's angels move freely and unhindered into the lands in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Even if but for a time, Father God, we need to touch these people before it's too late. We need to touch these people, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we may execute upon your perfect will, that you would want not one to perish. Principalities, powers, and strongholds, spiritual hosts of wickedness, and rulers of darkness in high places, above the lands where war is taking place on this earth today. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, and by the blood of the Lamb of God, we decree, fire swords of cherubim shot down from the heavens to cut you into pieces, we declare, fire of God launched down from the glory pillar in the throne room, and burn you into screaming agony, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. And we decree, in Jesus' name, for the dispatch of hundreds of trillions of legions of warrior angels fully clad in the armor of God, diamond-tipped swords sharp as razor blades, in the mighty name of Jesus to wage war against you entities from the bowels of the pit, such has never been seen since before there was time. Strong men, come forth! Subordinate spirits, out now in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Any entity of darkness, worker of Satan, that may hinder these prayers and the power of these prayers, we command you out of these people now in the name of Jesus Christ. Strong men, come forth. Subordinate spirits, out now. In Jesus' name we decree hundreds of trillions of legions of warrior angels to descend upon you, to strike you deaf, blind, and numb, place you under arrest, and cast you into the pit. We declare the fire of God to weld the pit shut. We decree the fire of God in Jesus' name to permeate the pit and to burn you in screaming agony in the name of Jesus, making a public spectacle of you thereof in Jesus' name, Colossians 2:15. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we plead your blood to seal the pit, for only the Lamb of God can break the seals. We declare the holy fire of God, a thorny hedge of protection, and a whirlwind of the Holy Spirit to blow it white hot and to encapsulate all of the peoples that are victims of these lands, victims of these policies of Satan, victims of the darkness that is causing this stuff, this blood to be shed in the name of Jesus. This goes against the law of Christ. We command you into the pit. Demons of darkness, release them. We declare the fire of God to encapsulate them on all sides, and we decree the abundant grace, living water, the crystal river, to enter into their spirit and their soul, to fertilize the soil therein, that they may receive the seeds of these prayers. These prayers will bear fruit, and the fruit will remain in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And Father, we pray in Jesus' name, oh Lord, that you will send. It's such a amazing thing that you could and would send an innumerable company of angels of light and love and the presence of our Lord Jesus, omnipresence, into the dreams and into the visions of the night of all of these people, the good and the bad, in Jesus' name, to save their souls from the pit and to seal their instruction to bring them home. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you, Father. Amen. Praise God. We got another report. I'll just read it to you. This just came in roughly about a year ago. More than 200 Muslim men in Gaza have converted to Christianity after reportedly seeing Jesus in their dreams. More than 200 Muslim men in Gaza have converted to Christianity after reportedly seeing Jesus in their dreams, said Christian professor Michael Lycona. Lycona teaches the New Testament studies at Houston Christian University and has also written a number of books, including The Case for the Resurrection of Jesus and Paul Meets Muhammad. In a recent Facebook post, Lycona said he received a report from underground Christian ministries in the Middle East that detailed the miraculous conversions. God is working in the midst of war, his post began. He then quoted the report from the ministries. Over the past 2 days, we have ministered to hundreds of fathers who have lost most, if not all, of their children. Father, pour out your blessings in the name of Jesus. We ask you to send your angels into their dreams, into their visions. Father God, we pray that you, out of your mercy, will remember. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Praise you, Jesus, for vengeance is yours and love is ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See you next Friday, Lord willing.
Lord, we come to you with repentant hearts. We seek you with all our might. Sinners at the mercy of grace, redeemed we are by your embrace. Praise his holy name. Praise the King of Kings. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? For you we will endure until you come back for your bride to set her free. Write our names in your book of life. We are cleansed through your holy sacrifice as we lift your name on high. Renew our mind, renew our soul, remove the scars from our past and deem us righteous. We rebuke all deceptive lies. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then we will endure. We are the branches on a living tree. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then we will endure. Until you come back for your bride to set her free. Watch us
as we trim our wicks. Our lamps are full, our hearts are right. Like those five wise virgins, we will be. Your bride awaits thee patiently.